welcome everyone to this week's episode of Grapplecast. It's me, your host, Taryn, and today I'm joined by Dan and Joe. Hello.
What up, Oos? Yeet.
Hello, my Trouble Chief.
How are we both?
Good. I'm amazing. How are you?
Yes, not bad, not bad. Just a point of order, just to start with, Jamie will be joining us at some point. He's train delays or something like that on the way home from work. So he'll either be on in 10 minutes, he'll either be on with 5 minutes left of the show. Who knows?
It's not like Transport for Wales, is it?
It's not. Well, if you're one of our loyal listeners who is only interested in AEW, now is the time to stop listening and move it on a good few minutes until Jamie joins, because he'll be having a chat with us about Dynasty. We'll call it Dynasty. Just there we go. We can say this now because Jamie isn't here. I'm going to call it Dynasty just to see what he says. And I'm going to try and make a point of saying, no, it's Dynasty. That's how you pronounce it.
Joan Collins would be proud.
Yes, exactly. So we'll go from there and we'll see what happens. But yeah, how are we doing? Are we all shattered from yet another Grapple Show week?
Shattered dreams. No, mate, not shattered. I mean, we've watched Raw, SmackDown, NXT Level Up, WWE Speed. I'm currently watching 2004's TNA Turning Point. I tried to watch AEW, got a half hour in and turned it off. So yeah, all going good. And there's been some wrestling that's been announced in our local area. They've got, was it the Corn Shed, Joe? We've got that, Like That Wrestling. What's it called? Like That Wrestling? Or
People Who Like Wrestling.
People Who Like Wrestling.
Yeah, what, is that what the event's called?
Yeah, you see that video where that woman goes, what gives you an ick? And she goes, People Who Like Wrestling.
Oh, yes, I have seen it. Yeah, Ruining the Dress.
That's the one. So they've named a pay-per-view. They named a show, it's like 20 quid in the corn shed, Joe? Corn exchange.
Corn exchange, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, that's going to be 20 quid a ticket. That looks pretty decent.
Local talent or any names that we're aware of?
Friend of the show, Brendan White, he's going to be there.
Oh, good.
They don't tend to have like those people coming in and, you know, doing like the Americans coming in, like Brian Kendrick and stuff. It's a lot of homegrown talent. They're doing really well. You know, they've got Jay Joshua as the champion at the moment. Nico Angelo's up on the rise. Elijah challenging for the title quite often. They've got some really good up and comers coming in. So watch this space. You know, you might see a few of them on the dark matches. Like Brendan was on SmackDown a couple of months ago, so you never know.
You never do know. Could any of them turn up on the 2004 episode of TNA you're currently watching? That's the question.
Probably not.
Probably weren't even born then.
There's a guy called Johnny B. Badd. You'll have to remind me with Johnny B. Badd. They said he's a former Intercontinental Champion, Johnny B. Badd.
Is it Turning Point you're watching?
Yeah, 2004 is a turning point. Jackie is the referee. And I'm currently watching these random people I've never... There's this one guy. I think one guy looks like Too Cold Scorpio, I think. I don't know who half these people are, to be honest.
We don't know who Mark Myro is. We don't know who Flash Funk is. We don't know who any of them are. But yeah, we were chatting about it, weren't we, just before the show, that, this reminds us of the name of the channel for UK listeners.
AOZAT TV.
AOZAT TV. I think it might, I might get this wrong, I think it's only available on Sky. I don't know if it's on any other platform, but
I think it's Sky. I mean, I was already, you know, I love my country music, so I was well aware of it.
If you've got Sky, AOZAT TV, you might have to Google what the number is, because you will not be able to find it on the planner, because it's so far down the list that you'll find Jesus before you get to that. it's a strange old channel. I think I read about it the other day that they signed a deal with them to show, I think what's important to say, they're showing classic TNA content, pay-per-views and episodes of Impact. I don't believe they've signed anything to show current showings. So it is only classic content. I mean, one may argue that, you know, the classic content's better anyway, but
it's channel 186 on Sky. 186.
186, okay. 186.
I just looked.
Probably a few down from the God channel or something like that. But if you go on it, just maybe sit back a bit from the TV, because if you're too close, it's that pixelated, is the standard definition picture that your eyes will bleed. So it's not the best transmission quality. But hey, it's classic TNA when it was very, very decent.
They had a Serengeti street fight where they had Monty Brown versus Abyss, and you could win by pinfall submission or slamming your opponent on thumbtacks. They were the rules.
Brilliant. Yeah, a pop quiz. What was Monty Brown's name in WWE?
Matt Stryker.
Joe, can you remember? I can't remember. So I think, I want to say he was in WWE for about...
He was on the ECW brand, wasn't he? But I can't remember. He was in ECW,
and he was in it for about 2 months and then disappeared. And I think they said he had some issues at home, which we won't go into in case he did, in case it was personal reasons. But he just never came back. And also, he just never returned to wrestling either. He basically retired from professional wrestling after his, like, 3 month tenure in WWE on the ECW brand. See if you can remember it. He was called Marcus Corvon.
Marcus Corvon.
There you go, little Monty Brown. Good talent. I've got
DDP coming to the ring now on Turning Point. And he's in
his own room. I thought he'd come round to... There's a Domino's pizza guy outside my window currently. Look, I don't see if I, obviously
the audience can't see, but there's a Domino's pizza guy outside my door, but that's about it.
Well, if he looks a bit lost, give him a wave as if to say, yes, it's for me. Hopefully they've already paid online, so you don't need to get your cash out. Could have a free pizza there. Free cheesy garlic twists, or I don't know, is that Papa John's? I don't know what they do.
We don't have any Papa John's down in Wales anymore. They've all gone.
They're terrible. The Domino's and the pizza...
What's it called? The Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Yeah, we're not a fan of the old Papa John's on this end.
I like the ragu base, but you know, other than that, it's just very slow and very methodical.
The ingredients, which is weird, is what I'm going to admit. The ingredients taste cheap to me, and every time the wife says, "Oh, Papa John's, it's horrible," when there's an advert, and I said, "How could it be horrible?" The advert literally says, "Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's." Yeah, it's terrible.
Good old Father Jonathan's.
Jesus Lord, that was loud. I don't know if that was too loud for everyone else as well. Here he is. We've spoke about TNA. We've spoke about Dynasty. Don't worry. We've broken down
the Dynasty cards. You know, all of those. Matt Seagal versus the Beige Cassidy and whatever his name is. And they had the Trios Championship with the Bullet Bang Bang Scissor Club facing the Spinneroony Funk Gang. It was really good.
That was just the pre-show. Yeah, that was the buy-in.
In the 0-30 x 3 hour, or whatever
the buy-in was probably on for about 2 hours. How long was the show altogether?
Casino Blackjack Battle Royal Spinneroonie Mania thing as well.
That's double or nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. But the buy-in was an hour and a half, and then the actual event was 4 hours, so 1 till 5 a.m.
Did you watch it all the way in one session?
Did I?
Yeah, all the way in one session.
Well, I woke up at 12:45, so I only watched the trios match because I was at the buy-in. I'm not bothered about the other two matches as much. I can always watch that when I need to, but as long as I'm there for the main card and a little bit of the build-up, and like I said, the Bullet Club Gold versus Acclaimed, that's all that matters. So I was up from, I went to bed at 10:30, woke up at 12:30, watched that. Then it finished at 5, so then I was like, well, I'm usually up at work for 6 a.m., so I was like, what's the point of going to sleep for an hour? So I started watching the post-media scrum, and then had my shower, and then went to work, played football in the evening, decided to play a bit of PlayStation, went home, and then went to bed at, like, midnight, so I was up for, like, nearly 24 hours. It was great. Love it.
No, and you could, if you stayed up an extra hour, you could have watched Monday Night Raw.
I'm good, but thanks for the offer.
How irresponsible to stay up all that time. How was it though, Jamie? So, as I'm sure you've already alluded to, we haven't watched it yet. I did say to Dan and Joe before the podcast, I am going to go back and watch a couple of the matches from it because they do pique my interest. But, I mean, as we've already said, you're our resident AEW expert. So, yeah, take it away. Give us your thoughts on the event, any highlights of any particular matches.
Well, I mean... It was a Meltzer wet dream card, wasn't it? I mean, literally, they were all kind of dream matches. I assume when you're talking about the matches that pique your interest, you've got, obviously, Pac versus... what's he called? Ibushi. Ibushi? Yeah, no, it's not even Ibushi. It's Okada. It's Okada versus...
Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker. Yeah.
The Rainmaker, Okada versus Pac. Obviously, that's the one that kicked off the show. Very good match, solid. I probably thought it was going to be better than what it was. I mean, it was still a very good match, but I was just expecting a little bit more. I was a bit too greedy to start it off with, but it was still a very entertaining match. The only match I didn't care about was the next match, which was your trios match, the Edge, sorry, Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston versus the House of Black.
But there was an interesting point in that. Did I read that Malakai Black got the pinfall, which might set up a possible title match further down the line?
Well, I think they've been alluding to it for quite a while, because this is the first time Malakai Black and Adam Copeland have actually touched each other in the ring. Like, was that the spinning kick to win the match? That was the first time they actually touched, because I think they were alluding to it for a few weeks to say, oh, like, will he finally get his hands on each other? But yeah, Malakai Black's the one who got the kick in, and he got the pin, and like I said, it's going to lead to that match between Malakai Black and Adam Copeland before we get the returning patriarch himself, Christian Cage, which is what we all want to see anyway. And then we had double fun, because then she lost her title. Julia Hart of the House of Black lost her belt. So Willow Nightingale is a AEW champion for the first time. She was the first ever New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's Champion after beating Mercedes Moné. So who would have thought
terrible
that it would be Willow versus Mercedes Moné in her first match at Double or Nothing? But that's happening now. So it's official, as long as she's still the champion by then, of course.
Who knows? That Chris Statlanding, or whatever her name is, might have something to say about that.
Well, we thought the turn was possibly going to happen, but I think obviously it's going to help, and maybe she aligns with Mercedes Moné at that point, because Moné talks, obviously.
CEO.
Exactly. The other women's match, though, Toni Storm, that was great.
Was it timeless?
It was timeless, as everything that she does. Mariah May was looking very nice as well, of course.
We've seen her wrestle.
Have you? Was it great? Yeah.
It was incredible.
Everything you hoped it would be.
She lost to Ellie Taylor. It was everything we wanted. And more.
Everything you'll ever need.
And it's here right in front of you.
It's where we want to be.
That was beautiful. What was that?
It's the Greatest Showman.
Was that the Blood Brothers?
No, timeless Toni Storm picked up a good win. Obviously, that's going to happen, because I feel like, I mean, they mentioned it in the post-media scrum as well, because somebody mentioned, what are we thinking about Mariah May? She's currently number four. How do you feel about that? And then she kind of stormed off Toni Storm at that point. But her press conferences are great. If you haven't watched any of them, she writes like a little letter.
Nikki Garcia.
She mentioned Nikki Garcia saying that she can't hold a pussy-scented candle to her. Yeah. And then, obviously, you talk about those last three matches were just, you had Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, which is everything you hoped it would be and more. Incredible. It's obviously going to win match of the year, until they probably face each other again, maybe at some other pay-per-view, because I don't know if you've seen how it ended. Have you read of how it's ended or what's happened?
What, at the end of Dynasty?
No, the end of the Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson match.
Well, didn't they do some sort of injury angle with Bryan Danielson and his neck or something?
Yeah, so obviously a lot of people were worried when it first happened, but he Tiger Driver 91'd him. Basically, like, he landed on his neck and he was kind of like, oh, no, my neck. He was, like, really, really stiff, like, literally, and the ref went to the doctors and stuff, and then Will Ospreay then hit him with the hidden blade and got the pin 1-2-3. But it's like, obviously, if it did happen, he would have stopped Will Ospreay from doing
the... Danger in the work.
He would have done everything, but obviously, it's the angle to basically... Oh, Will Ospreay was then basically helped him to the back, and then in the post-media scrum, he was kind of like, as a result, we can see how dangerous the Tiger Driver is, so he's retiring the move. And basically wishes him a speedy recovery and blah, blah, blah. But it's going to come back to obviously be like, you only beat me because I was injured, that kind of thing. So it's going to set up another match between them. And it can allow Bryan Danielson to take some time off if he does want to. But it was an incredible match. I think some people have kind of talked about the ending to say, oh, it kind of took away from the moment, because you legitimately scared for like Bryan, because you actually thought in the moment, oh, God, he's done. But like I said, he's fine. And then it happened. thank God for that all-in footage, because we finally got to see the scapegoat make his return. It was all worth it. It was all planned for.
I'm sorry, if you jumped in the ring and you went to mug a wrestler and you had a mask on, they wouldn't push you in the corner and take your mask off. They would beat the crap out of you and take you backstage.
Did you see that little face of his? He was like, hee hee hee.
I do need to go back and watch it. Crowd go mild or wild?
Oh, they went wild. It was great. I mean, we all knew it was happening. But then obviously the commentators, what is he doing? That's illegal, he says. He's jumped the barricade. It's illegal.
Well, yeah, it's a criminal offence to encroach over the barrier. We all know that.
But yeah, he pushed, obviously, Dax Harwood. I believe it was Dax, off the ladder. And then the Young Bucks climbed the ladder to success to become the first ever three-time AEW World Champions and the greatest tag team in the history of professional wrestling and sports entertainment itself.
In the history of AEW,
EVP. But no, that was a really good match. Crazy spots in there, the pile driver on the ladder, you had through the tables and stuff. There was Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, literally did a tope suicida, literally through the ropes and straight through a table and literally crashed his head right into the barricade. That was beautiful. But no, it was a really good match. And then obviously we finally got it. Prediction was right all along. I mean, we all said it, but Swerve himself.
Who's finally,
it is Swerve's house. Prince Nana was dancing. It was great. We were all loving it. The first African-American AEW World Champion. Samoa Joe has been toppled. Swerve Strickland is the AEW World Champion.
Have you seen R-Truth's tweet about it?
No, what did he say?
He congratulated Kofi Kingston on winning the WCW title.
For God's sake. I mean, that's racist.
He said it. I didn't say
But
it.
The thing is as well, he did mention, Swerve Strickland did mention Kofi in his post-media scrum as well, to say, and obviously in terms of inspiration and stuff like that as well. So that's quite nice. The post-media scrum was all right. But no, it was a very good event.
Nobody bit each other, did they?
No, I don't believe there was any fights backstage.
No biting.
Because it is a very nice environment now that cancer of CM Punk is gone. But no, it was a very good event. I do recommend that you all watch it. And I will say it because you knew it was coming. It was better than WrestleMania.
Okay. You know what? The review was going so well until the end. So well.
I mean, when you look at, if you pick one match, I mean, besides obviously the Cody Rhodes moment, if you were like, I need to watch one match, you would pick Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay.
You didn't even mention the
Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly was a really good match. And the best part about all of that as well was at the end of the match, when Adam Cole came out and then he stood up from that wheelchair, it was a miracle. He's standing, he's walking. And so, yeah.
He'll get a haircut now and you'll manage Keith Lee. It'd be great.
Oh, what a time to be alive. But yeah, he will. And then he's kind of teased as well. It was like giving glares to Wardlow. So he's going to be soon out of the Undisputed Kingdom. And then who's going to help Wardlow? Who knows? Maybe a nice person from... Exactly. Because they have announced their pay-per-view schedule for the year, and Forbidden Door is taking place in New Jersey.
Oh.
And who's from New Jersey?
Not Liv Morgan.
Beth, because, it's from, because it's from Plainview, New York.
Bruce Springsteen.
So, you know, who says in June MJF finally makes his return?
Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi.
Did he not debut in the Royal Rumble this year? Everyone said it was going to happen.
So did Okada, apparently, but look what happened
there. Yeah. There's the dream match at WrestleMania next year, Okada, MJF. There you go.
We'll get that on AEW television soon, don't you worry.
We will. What would you give the show out of 10 then? And what was your favourite match of the night? Which...
I've got Will Ospreay is, he says it himself, he is on another level. Like, It was, has anyone seen the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer yet?
Going to watch it.
I mean, I've watched it like four times. But in terms of what does he say, literally, what does Deadpool say? Wolverine does something and he looks at the camera and what does he say? I'm soaking wet right now. And that was me Sunday night during that match.
Do you have a leaky roof or something?
Literally. If I had to give it an overall rating, it's a 9 out of 10.
If
I give it a grade rating, it's an A. Like, there's no doubt about it. Do I think it's the best pay-per-view ever? No, I still kind of hold Revolution from last year in high regard. But it's definitely, I don't see, it's going to take some topping this year. Like, I know, again, I love AEW more than WWE and stuff, and I'll always kind of hype it up as much as possible. But literally, this card is going to take some beating. It was stacked from top to bottom. And I know I mentioned it last week, but you're forgetting there was no IWGP champion, John Moxley. There was no Antonio Cesaro. Sorry, Claudio Castagnoli. There was no MJF. There was no Adam Cole. Well, not on the card, I mean. So when you're looking at the card, all of these people that aren't on the card who obviously are these mainstays. Orange Cassidy was obviously on the buy-in and stuff as well, but you look at all these people and it was still a stacked card from start to finish. So just imagine, I know a lot of people complain about the oversized roster and stuff, but when these people do come back and they come back into the picture, think of how stacked those cards can be.
Can't wait.
Nope, fair enough.
But watch it.
Did Tony Khan not say his famous
Thanks,
line.
Guys.
Or the, no,
his
other famous line.
This is, yeah, this is the greatest pay-per-view ever in the history of AEW.
He must have done it.
I mean, I stopped, obviously, because I had to go to work, so I didn't get to see the loner part of Tony Khan's press conference, but I'm sure I said, thank you, everybody, for a great, successful night at All Elite Wrestling. It was a really great show from top to bottom. That's what he usually says in all of his interviews. We had a great show and a great card, and I just want to thank all the fans for joining us for a really great night in All Elite Wrestling, possibly one of the greatest nights in All Elite Wrestling. Thanks, guys.
Did he comment on Jack Perry?
Again, I haven't seen his, so. But I assume possibly at some point.
You'll have to have a look at report back because he might be released by next week.
Oh, he's probably obviously going to be on Dynamite jumping that barricade. Or, I mean, look at the EVPs themselves, the Elite. We did say he's going to be the fourth member. So, I mean, they have all the power now. They've got the gold. They are the EVPs. They can just be like, no, it's fine, Jack. Come, they'll open up their arms wide and he's going to come in and you've got to give the people what they want and it'll be a nice hug for them all.
Some WWE news to whet our appetite with now and then. Some sad news though to start with. We've had our first proper set of releases in the so-called Triple H era. Yeah, Joe, do you want to give us your thoughts on... Well, first of all, do you know who's been released? Shall we have a rundown of the list? Let's have a look. We've got...
I can't wait to hear your pronunciation of one of them.
What about pronunciation instead of pronunciation?
All right, Dynasty. Right.
I mean, I actually did say that on the actual show. Nigel McGuinness said, it is our dynasty because he is British. He went, dynasty as the British say it in the Queen's language, he said.
So today, unfortunately, and this might not yet be final because over the last 3 days we've had releases, so it could go on for the rest of the week. Cameron Grimes, Von Wagner has gone also. Jinder Mahal, which I'm very upset about. Veer, Sanger, Zia Lee, and Zion Quinn has gone.
Yeah, Zia Lee and Zion Quinn.
To be fair, I'm not surprised most of those people haven't been used on TV for a very long time. I think Cameron Grimes, last time I saw him, he had a squash match against Bron Breakker. Zia Lee, haven't seen her for months, not surprised. Zion Quinn got signed last year at the draft as a wild card entry, and they never used him. Jinder Mahal, I'm very surprised because obviously he had that thing with The Rock. He's a former WWE champion, and that's the last thing they kind of do with him.
And he's a former WWE champion, let's not forget here, people. Don't hinder the gender.
It's very sad. And obviously, Veer and Sangha, as in the share, I don't know, there certainly wasn't clicking with them. They were all right, but they were
the
very
crowd just didn't care about him, did they?
Yeah.
Veer is no longer he's no longer coming to Raw. It's not happening.
They tried them a couple of occasions. They tried them as singles. They tried them together. And, yeah, they are quite popular in India. But at first the crowd were like, boo, we don't like you. But they weren't engaging with the crowd. I mean, you look at Cameron Grimes. He was getting the crowd behind him. He just wasn't given any storylines. I thought, being on SmackDown, you've got Shane Helms, who's one of his trainers. You know, he would be an advocate and be like, no, push this guy. He's pretty good. And the crowd do seem to like him. He was getting pops and stuff. Last time we saw him was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, not getting squashed to Von Wagner or Bron Breakker even. I thought that they would. I honestly thought in the draft he was going to get moved from one brand to another or move back to NXT, and they really were going to strap a rocket to him, no pun intended. So I was quite surprised to see him go. Von Wagner as well, very much so. Yeah, he was one of the people, the free agents, who could have gone to any brand, but you generally saw him stick in NXT, but he's really been like getting the crowd behind him. He's his dad's one of the famous Beverly brothers as well. And he really was telling like a redemption story on NXT. So I thought, okay, this is his time. You can see him sort of moving. But, you know, he's pretty good. I can see him going to potentially like a TNA or an MLW. Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes, can see him going back to TNA. I think with Jinder Mahal, I think the money's there. I wouldn't be surprised if he does have a couple matches in AEW, especially with the sort of rumbling that they had a few months back. And Zion Lee, first ever Chinese-born female wrestler to compete in the WWE. You know, really good, polite. I can see him coming back potentially in a couple of years' time in a Royal Rumble or something. I don't think it's the last we'll see of her. It is surprising, but we've got potential call-ups in the next week or so with the draft. So I think it frees up a little bit of space to bring in the Carmelo Hayes and the Ilya Dragunov set.
I'm going to make a bold prediction now for 50 quality points on what type of league those 50 points are going on. I don't know, but I'm going to make a bold prediction now. Jinder Mahal, potentially under his real name, will be the world champion in TNA by the end of this year. He'll be in TNA and they'll put the belt on him by the end of this year.
Ridiculous.
For 50 points then, I will also go for Jinder Mahal. And I will say he will debut just like Mason Mansoor did last week.
Oh, God.
Jinder Mahal will be in soft ground wrestling.
Have you watched a clip of that?
It's incredible. The White Savior, or whatever, the White Lord.
He's called Lord White.
Lord White. It's incredible. And
Dan and Joe, do you know about soft ground wrestling?
Yeah.
Jamie, just before you say it, just explain to our listeners the context of what soft ground wrestling is.
Soft ground wrestling is a Ugandan promotion in Uganda. And it is wrestling on the ground. There is no mat. It is literally like we used to do in Blackpool Championship Wrestling itself. We used to just basically come to a field, put some posts up with some wood, put some rope around. And that is literally, and they've just got people around there watching the wrestling. There is a guy called Lord White who was basically pissing on a black man at one point, and then that's where Mason Mansoor came in and just kind of took them all out.
The real Mason Mansoor,
yeah, WWE, but that's not even the best thing. The best thing about it was during the AEW post media scrum, Will Ospreay mentioned them by name because he sent them equipment to get like new equipment and stuff, and he said he would love to wrestle down there.
Soft ground. I hope we get Will Ospreay versus Lord White.
And Meltzer will give it 7 stars. Lord White, Will Ospreay. What a time to be alive. Oh. And I think it is one of those kind of like niche promotions, obviously, that is becoming quite popular on like TikTok in this
like $5 wrestling.
That I do think a lot of people are going to make like sporadic appearances. It's going to give it quite a big name and following. Like the Bingley Fish Shop.
Chippy, mega chippy.
Exactly.
Mega,
I think it could be one of those things that people are just going to tune in. I think these superstars that have just been released, like a possible Jinder Mahal or somebody like that, could just randomly make an appearance to save us from Lord White.
Save us from Lord White.
That's not wise, Lord White.
So if Jinder Mahal appears in Soft Ground Wrestling, give me 50 points.
That's fine.
Likely appearing in like a TNA or an AEW.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, not forever, but he will make an appearance at some point. He'd just be on the screen about, are you all right?
You do not want to hinder the Jinder.
In Soft Ground Wrestling. Dan, they WWE have announced the return of King and Queen of the Ring. I think they announced it a few weeks back, but they've started to...
They announced it at WrestleMania, didn't they?
That was it. Saturday, May the 25th, it all kicks off. Have you said where?
Yes, in the Kingdom of Riyadh.
They are doing it now again. Okay, fair enough. I think we're yet to hear anyone declare for the.
Did you not watch Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, has anyone watched Raw?
For the Queen of the Ring, but we have for the King of the Ring, Drew McIntyre, Gunther, and former King of the Ring winner, Xavier Woods.
Yeah, I think we all know that. This is Gunther's tournament. I think I predicted a couple of weeks ago when they announced the King of the Ring that this is Gunther's tournament to win. Xavier ain't got a chance. Drew McIntyre's just biding his time until we get the clash in the city.
Apparently he's wrestling injured, though, Drew McIntyre. Apparently he's got some sort of shoulder injury and they're worried he might miss clash. Fingers crossed.
I'm sure he won't be. I mean, they were building Piper Niven up a little bit strong on Raw as well in that Battle Royal, and she attacked Becky Lynch when she got eliminated. So you can see something happening in the works for that as well.
Just quickly talking about Clash in the City. I don't know if you've got your emails, but tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Do you know what the pre-sale code is?
I assume it's Clash.
No, it's Castle.
It's Castle.
Castle. Fair enough. I mean, I've got the email, but you've given it to everybody now. But by the time this pod goes live, anyway,
it doesn't matter. They put it on Monday Night Raw. They basically they haven't sent an email. They're like, oh, what's your email? So you're going to get a passcode. But if you watched in like the second hour of Raw, they're like, oh, tickets go on sale on Friday, but pre-sales on Wednesday, and the passcode's Castle. And I'm like, I booked the day off work to get tickets in the pre-sale. You've literally told thousands of people. Thank you.
Jamie, you're going to buy a ticket.
Yeah, because that's all I watch is WWE.
Sorry,
you
I think
you
told millions. Millions of people, that's the one.
Jamie, will you be buying a ticket for Clash at the Castle?
I mean, I'm teaching tomorrow between 9 and 11 o'clock, but I am kind of intrigued just to try and join Ticketmaster just to see the price. Because, you know, if you can get, I mean, it's very much doubtful, but, you know, if you could get like some of the cheap seats at like 120 quid for SmackDown and Clash, it's tempting. It's Scotland. You can literally just go up there. But I very much doubt I'll be getting tickets because I don't have the money for it, especially going to AEW All In, which would be a much better show anyway. If I look at it and I manage to, if there's like, I go on there and there's one ticket for 150 quid for SmackDown and Clash, you'd be stupid not to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a good deal.
I mean, I don't know. The prices might start at like 300-400 quid, like Money in the Bank was, but you know. I'll be taking a peek, and if it piques my interest in the Scottish peaks, I will head down there, head up there.
It's quite reasonable. I mean, a hotel for 2 nights, you'd get a hostel for like 40 quid, but you can get a pretty decent hotel for 2 nights for 100 quid. And even flights from like down in the south up to Glasgow is only 70 quid return. So you could do it all in all pretty cheaply. I think it's going to be absolutely incredible. And Glasgow's a great city, really good, you know, good whiskey, great Tannock's tea cakes, great.
But no Castle.
They've got, well, Castle's nearby. There's Castle's nearby.
Well, then, Castle's nearby, just down the road in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Joe, Raw last night, we had the Battle Royal to determine the new Women's World Champion.
Give us your thoughts.
Give us your thoughts, because I'll give you my thoughts straight away. I'm not happy with the decision for the new champion.
You wanted Maxine, I know.
It's, as we said last week, this is Shane Rhea Ripley's been out injured. As we said last week, we don't know whether it's going to be an elimination or battle royal. It gives everyone a chance to show themselves. Obviously, Maxine Dupree was in there, Ivy Nile were in there, Candice LeRae, all of them were in there. I would have preferred if somebody like Nia Jax would have won it, but I kind of get Becky winning it, because obviously she's just had a match at WrestleMania. She's like the biggest, she's like the face of WWE. Like, if they put it on anyone else, maybe Nia Jax would have been better, but I can see why they did it, because obviously Becky Lynch is the face of WWE. She's just been champion not that long ago. She's just got a book out. So for all like the promotional, so wherever Becky Lynch goes, she's going to have a WWE Women's Championship. It's good branding. I see what they're doing.
Who did you want to win it then, Taryn? Because I was the same with Joe. I thought Nia Jax would have been a great show. But who would you have picked if it wasn't for Becky Lynch?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously, my favourite, Natalia, was there. But of course, Natalia was never going to be. I don't know. I just... It's too early for your Jay Cargills and your Tiffany Strands to win that type of thing.
It's Tiffy time, Taryn. It's Tiffy time.
Not quite. Bianca Belair, I don't want to see hold the title for a good number of years. Yeah.
We don't want it.
In regards to that. Yeah, I mean, Nia Jax is a pretty good shout, because you would have still had a heel champion. She could have continued a bit of dominance by beating people. And then, you know, she didn't necessarily have to have dropped the title back to Rhea Ripley when she came back. She could have dropped it to a face before then. But I think, you know, she could have potentially held it till Rhea's back, because let's be honest, Rhea's probably going to come back as a face, so she could have defeated the heel and taken it off. So by putting it on Becky, it says to me they're either going to do one of two things. She's either going to have a very short title reign, you know, for only a couple of months or so, and drop it to a heel who's going to eventually drop it to Rhea, or they're going to turn Becky heel, which might be the best thing for her at the moment. Interestingly enough, the odds, if you checked Bet Online last night, they had the odds for who was going to win the title. Well, we all should have put a bet on, because Becky Lynch was fourth favourite at 6-1.
Who was first favourite?
Walk away in the title. Liv Morgan.
As it should be.
5-2.
I mean, it obviously makes sense storyline-wise, because she is on her revenge tour.
Yeah.
But when you're saying that, obviously, Becky Lynch is going to drop it, she's going to drop it to Liv Morgan to obviously have that Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, because Rhea Ripley injured Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's now injured Rhea Ripley. That whole kind of thing on there. So that's the way storyline's going. But we all wanted Liv Morgan to win it. The evil is hers, but I don't think...
The evil is mine.
It's dependent on, obviously, the length of time that Rhea's going to be out, and did they want Liv Morgan to be champion that long? Give it Becky for a few months. Liv Morgan will get her revenge tour, take Becky Lynch out, and then Rhea Ripley will come and we'll have that match possibly at SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Well,
but Liv will be champion and we can't wait to see it.
Well, Liv was favourite. Bianca Belair was second. Jay Cargill had better odds to win it than Becky Lynch did. Jay Cargill was 4-1.
Was she in the match?
Nope. She got the tag titles on SmackDown.
Did she win it?
Maybe not in the match yet.
Oh,
this week. Tiffy Times.
It might be on the back
rack,
I'm not sure.
Tiffy Times 7-1. Asuka was 8-1. Naomi was 8-1. Roxanne Perez 12-1. There you go. Nia Jax 14-1. You see. Yeah.
Why didn't you put it on Natalia? Because Natalia is from Canada and they speak French in Canada, and they're going to Lyon, France in a couple of weeks.
Because Natalia was bottom of the odds. Well, she was joint bottom of 40-1 with Maxine Dupree, Caden Carter, Katana Chance, Ivy Nile, and Indy Hartwell. Oh, and Chelsea Green.
Now, you've got to remember, Dan, like, thinking about it, yes, I know Backlash is only a few weeks away, but what goes on sale tomorrow again?
Clash in the City tickets.
And where is it at?
It's in Glasgow, Scotland.
Exactly. It's in Glasgow, Scotland. And Becky Lynch's hometown is where? Scotland.
Well, she's from Ireland and it's just a couple hour drive to Dublin.
Exactly. It's the United Kingdom itself. So, you know, you've got to have... I mean, we've lost Drew McIntyre as the world champion. So we need a British champion there. And we have that in Rebecca Quinn herself, which, by the way, I had one Audible credit because it was credit day. So I've bought the book. And one thing that really annoys me, which I told Taryn on Saturday, is like, why don't you have... I was like, looking at it going...
Here we go. Just prepare yourself.
I was looking at it going, like, don't you hate it when you get an autobiography and it's not written? It's not like read by the author. It's the most annoying thing world. Rebecca Quinn. Who is she? Nobody knows. I mean, that joke could have been better if I didn't say Rebecca Quinn a few moments ago.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
But yeah, obviously,
I don't think our
listeners, but using her real name.
I don't think our listeners are too interested in what we all say anyway, so they probably weren't listening to you. So they probably got the joke.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Fine. But obviously, I do have I haven't listened to it yet. But I do have the new Becky Lynch book on Audible, so I'll be listening to it at some point.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't know what she's doing with her life, so she ends up training with Fergal. Then it doesn't work well as well, so she becomes a flight attendant. And she goes to clown school, and then she goes and does like a little match with Finn. Goes, oh, you should have a tryout. She goes as a tryout. She goes in NXT.
This is just for the broken school sessions.
Yeah, and then she has like a really hard time fitting in, but then she actually says, you know what, I should be myself. And she goes out and she becomes the man and she revolutionizes
the Irish lassie herself doing the Irish jig. I mean, the best thing about it is give it a few more weeks. You can just read the rest of the book on her wrestling outfit.
The Miz was wearing a wrestling outfit as well on Raw, I noticed.
What, it was? With a book on it?
Well, no, he just was in the same colours.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, the awesome truth. People over there, what's up?
Well, speaking of the Real Truth and Our Truth, a member of the Judgment Day is injured. Have we heard that Dom's out, sidelined?
Well,
Rhea
is injured as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
So two of them are injured at the moment.
Apparently he was taking
it's a convenient that it's Mammy and Dom.
Oh dear.
What
the
happened?
The affair, it's happening.
But I assume
Dom isn't injured, but he has recently just got married, hasn't he? So he's probably going on his honeymoon.
No, apparently he is legitimately injured, according to the dirt sheets.
He just got married a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he did. They haven't said what the injury is. He said he was taken off the European tour last week. He's been replaced by Ricochet, and there's no timetable for his return yet. So,
I love that. Rick O'Shea.
With Rick O'Shea. Finn Balor, though, of the Judgment Day, has signed a new multi-year deal with the WWE.
Did you have a heart attack? I know Dan definitely did, didn't he? Have you not been on Instagram and it was just him standing in the ring and it was like, oh crap, he's retiring. And obviously it just said, I just wanted
to
take a few moments and you had to press see more. And it's like, oh no, he signed a new deal. But like literally, he wanted everyone to click that because everyone thought he was going to retire at the end of the year or something.
Good old Fergal, the cat himself.
Meow.
Still in the company. I'm a cat.
We've got the draft this week. And before we go on to the draft, actually, some quality news. If you're a Cody Rhodes fan, maybe not. If you're a fan of the film series, for some reason, and nobody has actually worked out why or given anybody any good reason as to why they're doing it yet, but they're rebooting the Naked Gun, the classic Leslie Nielsen film.
Yes, they are.
With Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson in the starring roles.
He just wants to look at his face. So
Liam Neeson is going to be obviously playing Frank Drebin. He's going to be playing the Leslie Nielsen character. Pamela Anderson, she played Neuberg. She played OJ's character.
Well, she does have a nice beaver.
Well, yes, she does.
I know it's kind of ridiculous, and just before you go into it, but obviously, no one's ever going to be as good as Leslie Nielsen in that role. But if you have watched some of Liam Neeson's comedy, like especially in like Ted 2, for example, he's a great actor anyway. But his comedy is pretty good. But like it's like Airplane. Like, what is he then going to do? Airplane? Is he just going to
be
that role? Because
now,
literally, there are some movies that never need a remake.
He can't take those roles. You know why? Because they're all taken.
He does have a particular set of skills.
If the Naked Gun reboot is as bad as I think it's going to be, it'd be
better than the original.
Boycotting Cody Rhodes moving forward because he is going to co-star in the film. It's been announced today. They haven't said what role he's playing, who he's playing, or how much he's going to be in it. They've even said he may star in it as himself. So we don't know.
At the
know
moment,
yet.
Though, it's all smoke and mirrors, isn't it? It's all speculation.
Right.
Taryn, I have to finish my story.
The Naked Gun story.
Oh, Lord. Joe, it's the draft this Friday and Monday. Just before we move on to our quiz, anybody that you would like to see switch shows between, well, all three brands, or any that you'd like to see already that you think is going to happen?
Between Raw and SmackDown, I don't really mind who goes where, who does what. as Dan said, I think the solid call-ups, Carmelo Hayes, definitely. Maybe Trick Williams.
No, he's winning the title on this week's episode. He's facing Ilya Dragunov, isn't he? Who could get called?
Yeah, I think Ilya Dragunov will get called. And Von Wagner will be called up.
I think Dijak's a lock. But you need to think of the women's division. They've got a lot of stacked women down there. Kiana James has been ready for ages. Fallon Henley, absolutely incredible. We've even seen Roxanne Perez, the current NXT women's champion. That happened last year with Indy Hartwell. Maybe Roxanne could be getting called. Aoife Valkyrie or whatever. Valkyrie she's called now. She might be on the rise. So I think there's a few of the women's division that really could get a rocket. What's her name? Bea Priestley's character. Blair Davenport. She's somebody who's ready to be on the roster. She's been ready for absolutely years and didn't really need to go in NXT. She may be called up. So, and I think Gallus, with Clash in the City coming, having Gallus being called up 2 months before they go into Scotland, I think that would be a very clever move to make.
Is there anybody on the main roster or on SmackDown that you think are getting a little bit stagnant on one brand and could just do with a move from one side to the other just to try and, Alpha you know, Academy. Vitalize it?
You think Alpha Academy?
Well, I'd like to see Alpha Academy, as in Otis and Akira Tozawa, maybe move and just let's just have Chad Gable as a singles competitor moving forward.
I think they need to split up Legado and the LWO. I think for the past 6 months now, this is all we've been seeing on television. And yeah, they're very good wrestlers and they're very charismatic. But when you're seeing the same different combinations of matches every single week, very similar like New Day and Imperium. We saw a slight dissension in Imperium with Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, the splitting of that tag team. So potentially you could have Giovanni Vinci bringing back his model gimmick going over to SmackDown. Maybe Ludwig Kaiser, who's currently dating Tiffany Stratton, maybe he might go over to SmackDown and join her. So I could see those two sort of having a bit of a shuffle.
I hope they don't do what they've done in the last couple of years, where they just seem to switch like the US title and the Intercontinental title over each brand. And I don't think they'll do it with the tag titles now, since they've basically rebranded them now. And they ain't going to be moving Cody and Damian Priest, because they ain't going to be taking Damian Priest away for Judgment Day. But yeah, it's just getting a bit tired now in respect of moving the champions over and then saying, oh, you've either got to drop the titles, vacate them, or just swap
the titles,
year, which was just
I mean, I think that's only because they were red and blue and they had to swap it that way, whereas now you've got these new designs. Obviously,
yeah,
you can't take the titles on either brand, but obviously, it would look stupid if you were wearing red belts, on the SmackDown brand, and that kind of thing.
Is Logan Paul technically? I know he's not
the
a free
US
agent.
Champion,
yeah, but is he like a free agent? As in, brand?
He is
like,
a free agent.
Not,
yeah, but
yeah.
I mean, technically,
I wonder if they'll allocate. That's what I mean.
Someone like
yeah.
Trish Stratus, for example, last year she was a free agent, but she got drafted to Raw only to
she
wrestle
got drafted to Raw
matches.
And wrestled at like a match. Yeah, but I think it was
she wrestled quite a few last year.
Yeah, but that was all before the draft. She got drafted and then like wrestled one match and then disappeared and just never come back since. So
I think with the Judgment Day, you saw a bit of dissension on Monday Night Raw. You know, they got 4 or 5 members. Could we see one of those members be taken? I think with Finn Balor, he's not going to be going for a tag. Yeah, he was wrestling a Fatal 4-Way for the IC title on the European tour. I think mainly for the pop of the local crowd. But you could see someone like Finn splitting up from the group potentially, you know, it's a good way of getting him away without any animosity.
The thing about it all as well, though, is like, surely pick one and pick two is Cody Rhodes and Damian Priest. So, are you taking Cody
Roman
Rhodes
Reigns,
SmackDown?
Bloodline?
Are you taking? No, but I'm saying like, the one thing that really annoys me is like when they pick somebody. There's nothing wrong, obviously. Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns, but your champions have to be pick one and pick two, because if you pick at pick number one, Cody Rhodes. And then they go, we want Roman Reigns. You'll just go, we'll take Damian Priest and we have two world champs. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Plus, not only that, it devalues the other world champion.
Because
was it
like last year or something like that kind of happened? And then the Intercontinental title and the US champion were like picks round 8 and 9 or some random crap like that. And it's like, why are you picking these superstars over these champions?
I think 1 year they did it. Where Roman Reigns, and I might be wrong, but I think he was one of the world champions at the time. They picked him like 4th or 5th, but the reason for it was he'd not long come back after having a suspension for, and this was years ago now, because obviously since his leukemia came back, so it wasn't after that, but he got some sort of suspension for a violation of the wellness policy, and like his punishment, even though he was like a champion,
is a fifth round pick.
Was just kind of like, you know what they were like back then with Vincent Jones,
to
like
devalue you, are humiliation, you are a pick five player.
On Raw we had Imperium implode though, didn't we? We had Ludwig Kaiser beat what's his chops.
He literally just said that.
Giovanni
on it. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but
so...
what were they called on the Indies?
Oh my God's sake! I don't know. Ask Joe. In fact, don't ask Joe because it might be Jamie's quiz. Shall we quiz it?
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to, I don't know if Joe's ready. Yeah, Joe's there. I can see him now. He's come back. Here he is. I mean, I was thinking long and hard. What can I do for this nice little quiz? And then I thought about it. I was like, well, it is Dynasty this weekend. And I was like, should I just do another AW quiz? And I was like, no, we can't be doing that. But then I thought, well, you know what? Who's the greatest wrestler of all time? Spoiler alert, he won at Dynasty. It is a quiz all about William Ospreay.
Oh, bro.
God almighty.
Bruv.
Yeah, bruv.
I got a dog, bruv.
He's got a dog. Well, question one, how many dogs does he have? No, I'm joking, it's not. Question one, nice and easy. Maybe Taryn can even get this one. What is Will Ospreay's nickname?
That is the first question. I thought you were joking.
No, that is question one. You have to at least get a point, Taryn.
No, I've got that one, so I'll at least come away with the point.
Good. Question two.
I didn't know it until you'd mentioned it, like, I think last week.
Question two. How many times has Will Ospreay won the PWI Wrestler of the Year award? How many times has Will Ospreay won the PWI Wrestler of the Year? For those that don't know what PWI stands for, that is Pro Wrestling Illustrator.
PWI, is it like SGW, Soft Ground Wrestling?
It is, exactly. Question three. Will Ospreay is a member of United Empire in the American contingent with Aussie Open. For 2 points, who are the two members of Aussie Open? Taryn's face.
Aussie Open.
I mean, no, I know as well, we saw them live in All in London.
The one goes out with that Sky Blue.
I know one.
Everyone knows one of them. It's that other guy's name that you might kind of...
The one that's on the shelf.
The one that's on the shelf. But one of them is currently in the Don Callis family. On AEW television. Okay. Question four. Will Ospreay is the longest reigning undisputed British heavyweight champion in Rev Pro. How many days did he hold the title?
We've seen Rev Pro.
Exactly. So how many days did he hold the title? He is the longest reigning undisputed British heavyweight champion. Closest will get a point.
I always remember watching Rev Pro because we were upstairs on the balcony. And then Will Ospreay was watching the rest of the matches. And Joe wasn't watching the matches and just kept staring at Will Ospreay all night.
I mean, to be fair, he would do that to your bruv.
Bruv. Weren't you, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, yeah.
I just like, oh my God, it's Will Ospreay. And I'm just like staring at him.
And I'm 10 meters from him.
I would do exactly the same. Bruv. Okay, Will Ospreay has achieved 5-star matches. I mean, this is question five, so I thought this was not quite nice. Will Ospreay has achieved 37 5-star matches at this moment in time. Sorry. Will Ospreay has achieved 5-star matches in 5 different promotions. Name the 5 promotions for 5 points.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, come on. I mean, 3 of them should be pretty easy. Maybe even 4 should be easy.
Perfect, easy.
Will Ospreay has achieved 5-star matches in 5 different promotions. Who are they?
Public staff. 5 points.
You got that?
Yeah. I've got 3.
Ha! So when I was doing this, I was kind of figuring out like how I can do this question, and I was going to do it, but then I changed it. So Will Ospreay has achieved 37 five-star matches. Name all 27 opponents he's faced. I'm joking. I'm not actually going to do that. Who has he faced the most?
Who has he faced the most?
In a five-star match. So he's faced 27 different opponents, including tag matches. 26 different opponents, because some of these people are in different ones. But he's been in 37 five-star matches. Which opponent has he shared the most matches with? He has faced this person 6 times.
Oh.
For question 6, there you go. See, it all works out nice.
Well, that's a guess.
Fantastico.
Question 7. As we know, Meltzer likes his 5-star ratings, but you know what else he likes doing?
Not
going over those 5-star matches.
Oh,
so
God.
Out of those 37, how many of those matches are over 5 stars? Out of the 37, how many are over 5 stars?
Okay.
Ooh. He went double figures there. I heard those two keys hit. Question 8. In what year did William Ospreay sign with New Japan Pro Wrestling? What year did he sign with New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Okay, that's a guess. Educated guess.
Question 9. Who beat Will Ospreay for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship? So he's only held it once in his career, but who beat him for him to lose the title?
I like these Japanese questions. I like that we're including these. This is good.
Exactly. It's for our international and Dan's friend.
Lee. Big shout out to Lee.
You can't talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling or Will Ospreay without the other, so you know, there you go. And the final question, a nice and easy one, just for Taryn. How old is Will Ospreay?
Rev.
Is that the actual question?
That's the actual question.
That's easy to work.
I know that anyway, I think.
How's it easy to work out?
I think they mentioned it not that long ago.
I mean,
I'll say when I give my answer how it's going.
Same. Well, I haven't worked out. I've just put what I think the right answer is.
Okay.
Well, no, I've worked it out because there's an easy way of working it out.
There is an easy way to work it out if you get it correct. Is it right? What is it? I can't remember. What is the line now? Do you remember that old video of the guy with the chat up lines? Anywhere you like. But what did he say? It was quick. But will it do the trick?
Pins and needles.
I was watching that the other day, just because it's great. Because somebody sent me like a video, and I was like, I need to go watch that video now.
Whatever happened to the Holy God?
Well, brilliant.
Guess what, ladies and gentlemen, he turned into Will Ospreay.
Okay, well, so question 1. What is Will Ospreay's nickname? Taryn.
The Aerial Assassin.
Dan.
The Aerial Assassin.
Joe.
Aerial Assassin.
Correct, it is the Aerial Assassin because he loves the Assassin's Creed films and, well, games. The film's terrible. Okay, question.
Only one film, isn't there? Is it
they're making a second one, aren't they?
Possibly. But no, he loves it. He's got a tattoo as well of the Assassin's Creed. Okay, question 2. Dan, how many times has Will Ospreay won the PWI Wrestler of the Year award?
Never.
Joe.
3.
Taryn.
2.
The answer is, in between you all, 1. He won it last year for the first time ever. He's been named the best technical wrestler or whatever, but he finally won the Wrestler of the Year award last year.
Runner-up, a good try award. It was a good try. It was a good try.
Joe, who are the two members of Aussie Open?
Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis.
Oh.
Taryn.
I only put Kyle Fletcher. I didn't know. Remember the
Dan.
Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis, Aussie, oi, oi, oi.
Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher, we've all seen him wrestle live in London.
Is that only a point?
A point for each.
Oh, good,
a point for each. So you'll get Kyle Fletcher, don't you worry.
Good.
Okay, Taryn. The record for Rev Pro, undisputed British heavyweight champion, how many days?
How many days was Roman Reigns champion for?
1,136 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah,
880.
Okay. Dan? 724. Joe? 360. The answer is
919, so Taryn is the closest. Oh, good, I'll have a point for that. I'm at 919.
Between 2020 and 2022. Okay, question five. Dan? Will Ospreay's achieved 5-star matches in 5 different promotions. Who are they?
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, All Elite Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact Pro Wrestling, Revolution Pro Wrestling.
Joe.
New Japan, PWG, AEW, TNA Impact.
That's 4.
And the other one, I don't know.
Fair enough.
I think he's just going to repeat what I said.
I only put three. I put New Japan, Rev Pro, and AEW. Can we allow Dan to lose points or not gain them by calling it Impact Pro Wrestling?
The answers are Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, New Japan Pro Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling, Revolution Professional Wrestling, and TNA/Impact Pro Wrestling.
Impact Pro Wrestling.
I got 5.
You got all 5 of them. Well done.
We will allow him to have Impact Pro Wrestling, where he may become the world heavyweight champion of the world.
Will Ospreay has achieved 37 5-star matches, but which opponent does he share the most matches with? Joe.
Shibata.
Taryn.
Kenny Omega.
Dan.
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, he's only faced once in a 5-star match. Joe, who did you say again?
Shibata.
Is he even on this list? I do have all the names.
No one's ever heard of him.
Shibata has never had a 5-star match with William Ospreay. And in terms of Kenny Omega, he is tied second with 5. Kenny Omega's only faced twice in a 5-star match in the same year.
Oh.
It was last year where they faced each other at Forbidden Door and also at Wrestle Kingdom. That's only 2. Okada was 5. And the winner was Shingo Takagi.
Ooh, Takagi.
Takagi. There you go, with 6.
There we go.
Okay. Out of those 37, how many have been over 5 stars, Taryn?
9.
Ooh. Dan.
Out of those 7, how many? 9. 3.
Out of those 37, only 3. Joe.
Yeah. 7.
The answer is 18.
No points for anyone.
In what year did Ospreay sign with New Japan Pro Wrestling, Dan?
I thought, well, he's only just signed with AEW, so I thought, well, he might have been on a 5-year contract. So I went with 2018.
Okay. Joe.
2016.
Oh, I also put 2016.
The correct answer is 2016.
There we go.
Joe, who did Will Ospreay lose the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship to? He's only lost it once. Who beat him for it?
I put Jay White, I did know.
Taryn.
Oh, I've just had a brainwave now. Could it have... I'll tell you what I put and then I'll tell you what. Actually, I just put Okada. That's
Okada, fair enough.
Yeah.
Dan?
Ibushi.
Go on, what are you going to say, Taryn?
Would it have not been like Chris Jericho or something in some sort of...
The answer is no one. He was injured, so he had to relinquish it.
Oh.
He's never been beaten for that title. It still is. And how old is Will Ospreay, Taryn?
I think he's 30.
Dan?
Tiger Driver 91, I think, is his finisher. So if you were born in 91, you'd be 32.
Joe?
I put he's 30.
The correct answer is he is 30. He uses the Tiger Driver 91 because that's it, but he calls it the Tiger Driver 93 because that's his year of birth.
Blame.
Yes. I got 8, but that's because of the 3 points on the promotion one.
I got 9.
Just won the William Ospreay Award. Well done. You can get 5 stars from me.
You should be quite privileged with that. It's almost like winning the Vincent J. McMahon Senior Award goes to Joseph Saunders, and then Shane McMahon comes out. Joe, that gives you your first point of the year. Well done.
Number one.
Jamie sat on 5, I'm on 3, Dan's on 2, and Joe is on 1. He's off the mark.
So I give you guys a chance to start the year.
Fair play. Is it me next week?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. So you can brush up on your Beano quizzes, or name, you know, Mr. Beano. Dick, whatever his name is. Is he a wrestler?
Mr. Dick.
No, literally, he'll forget, and on the day, he'll be like, let's make up some wrestler names.
Well, I love those types of quiz.
Big what was Bat. The stable called on the Wait, indie no. that was Imperium?
Lord White. Is he real?
Lord White. But we don't. Since you all love them so much, I might do a state of these real stable names or real wrestling promotions.
Who have won a championship the week before Soft they went to France because they could speak French?
I might do. Fair,
I might do my research on soft ground wrestling, and then my next quiz will all be about soft ground wrestling.
I hope so. In the meantime, Dan, where can everybody find us?
Yeah, you can find us on the socials. We are on the Facebook, the X, the Instagram, and the Threads. We are Grapplecast Show. But wherever you get your podcasts, your Deezers, your Apple Musics, your Spotify's, again, we're Grapplecast Show. But make sure you like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Fantastic. Well, I will try and watch the Dynasty matches at some point this week. It's been a busy week. I've not had a chance to have it on in the background whilst I'm working. Plus, I'm in Cardiff on Friday, so that rules that out. So if I get round to it. And then we've got the big old trip to Reading on Saturday on the coach. We haven't. I'm not going. The wife would kill me. There's still time, though. There's still time. Oh, right. Sign us off then, Jamie.
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, without further ado, bruv, I bid you a goodbye, a good night, and watch for the swerve when I drive, and I swerve when I drive, and I swerve when I drive, shoo.
There are, guys. Ring the bell!